And as Mike Schuster just mentioned, Israel is continuing its ground offensive in southern Lebanon. And until just a few days ago, the town of Bint Jebel was the scene of fierce fighting between Israeli troops and Hezbollah fighters. NPR's Ivan Watson was able to travel to Bint Jebel today. He sent this report.
The hills around Bint Jebel are charred and burned from artillery strikes. Every few hundred yards, craters puncture the road leading into this battleground from airstrikes which sent cars flipping into nearby buildings or simply smashed them in their tracks. An anti-aircraft gun decorated with a Hezbollah flag stands at the gates of Bint Jebel. After weeks of fighting, the Hezbollah monument is still standing, but there's little left of this once bustling border town. You have to enter Main Street on foot because the road is littered with knee-high chunks of concrete, shards of metal and glass. Countless explosions have ripped through one building after another, reducing many to rubble. All the while, Israeli jets roar ominously overhead. At first, the town appeared deserted. No signs of Hezbollah fighters or the Israeli troops who fought for control of Bint Jebel until just a few days ago. A hot breeze blew through the empty streets, fluttering a string of colorful plastic flags. These banners once advertised a trade fair, but now lay wrapped around an unexploded, yard-long Israeli bomb. Slowly, several shell-shocked residents began limping out onto the streets, dazed and dehydrated after enduring nearly 3 weeks of fighting. An elderly woman named Sikne Hamayed sat on the sidewalk next to a broken refrigerator full of melting Snickers bars and cans of soda. Her silent, invalid brother lay on the sidewalk beside her.
She wants to go. By all means, she wants to leave this place. You know, she's saying she's had enough of this place. It's been a nightmare.
Hamayed says she and her brother had taken shelter throughout the bombing in a house with dozens of other people where there was no food and no medication for her brother. Hamayed was now too weak to walk, as were nearly a dozen other elderly and handicapped residents. But there were no rescue workers or ambulances here, just a group of foreign journalists who had taken advantage of the ceasefire to convoy together to Bint Jebel.
Water, please, water.
The reporters carried the elderly in sheets on makeshift stretchers made of ladders or simply hoisted them on their backs.
Someone help me?
Yeah, how do you name?
Move his right hand.
As she was being moved, one elderly woman named Zainab Daibis said her blind brother Ahmed had been left somewhere behind. A Lebanese man, who would not give his name, set out into Bint Jebel, calling into the ruins of one bombed-out building after another. After stumbling nearly a mile through the rubble, he found 70-year-old Ahmed, a small, white-bearded blind man with a blue cap and cane. Ahmed periodically called out for his sister as his anonymous Lebanese savior carried him piggyback over the rubble. Later, he was reunited with Zainab in the back of a battered Mercedes in a less damaged part of town, part of a convoy of vehicles that would evacuate Bint Jebel's few remaining residents to a hospital further north. Near the Mercedes, newly arrived rescue workers loaded vans up with hysterical women and children, part of a group of 40 who had waited out the bombing in a single house. Several girls wailed and cried as a woman in black robes described their nightmare experience in the shelter. There was no water or milk for the babies, she said. We were screaming for someone to help us. Then, before she could finish her story, drivers shut the van doors and the vehicles raced off, away from this deserted battleground. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Bint Jebel, Lebanon.